Now then, my first question is, I want to know who lost some money. Who lost some money? And then I want to know how much you lost. That way I'll know if you're the true one that lost it. So somebody lost some money around by the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, it was you?
It might be a 20 if I'm one.
Hey, that's it. That's it. There it is. That's exactly what it was. So see, aren't you glad we're honest here?
Amen.
Well, when we've learned here what the consequences of stealing is, God don't answer our prayer when we keep money. In fact, I've got to tell y'all, this is an awesome testimony. This young man's mom and stepdad are here today, up here on the front row, from up in Oklahoma somewhere. Y'all are in northeast Oklahoma, is that right?
Yeah.
And of course, they're young men. I got to tell you this story because it's such. I guess this will be on the tape because I want it to be. This young man was brought here by his mom and his stepdad because here last year. Okay. He's a real dad now. He adopted him, but anyway, he had been in a football accident and he hit the ground and some big guy fell on the back of his leg. I don't know how it happened exactly. Which leg was it? Right leg? Right leg, okay. Yeah, he went down like this, and he did some big guy come behind him and hit right here with his foot up like that. And, of course, it shattered his ankle and broke his leg and everything, both bones and everything. And, of course, the surgeons, if I tell the story wrong, you all correct me, but they took him to a doctor, a surgeon, and the doctor said that they would have to go in and do surgery and put steel plates on the bone, and it would probably grow back, but the ankle was all tore up so bad that it... Yeah, and because anyways, he went because the coaches told him he had to go, but his leg was broke, and his ankle was so tore up that the doctor said that by going in doing surgery, putting plates on the sides of his bone in his leg, it would probably grow back and be okay, but the ankle was so destroyed, he would never run again, certainly never play football again, and he might not even walk again, and so without crutches or something, so... He asked his parents if they would bring him here to the Living Savior Church for prayer. And, of course, they live way up in northeast Oklahoma. And so, you know, they brought Trevor, and he came down here, and I prayed for him that day. And after I prayed for him, I asked him a question. I said, "Son, do you consider yourself a real man of faith?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Since my dad got healed of a stroke down here, I have listened to your teachings, and I believe I am a great man of faith." I said, "Well, okay. If that's the case, then why don't you take the crutches that's holding you up and give them to your mom, and why don't you walk off without them?" He handed them to her, and he walked off. And he walked all the way to the back. And when he got to the back, I hollered at him. I said, "Trevor," I said, "son," he's 18 years old at the time, I said, "son, how does it hurt?" He said, "Oh, yes, Mr. Scrivener, it hurts, but I'm going to walk on it." I said, "Okay, that's real faith." Well, about Wednesday of that week, he called and happened to get a hold of Cheryl. And he said, I don't know what I've done wrong, but said, "My leg is hurting something awful." He's still walking on it, but he said, "It's hurting like crazy." And Cheryl asked him a question, said, "Trevor, do you have unforgiveness towards your real dad? Your biological dad?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And Cheryl said, "Well, you have to forgive him." Said, "That's why you got your leg broke in the first place. It's because of your unforgiveness towards your dad. You have to forgive him. In fact," she said, "why don't you sit down and write him a letter and tell him you totally forgive him and you'll love him?" He said, "I'll do it." And so I don't know how long it was after that. How long when y'all come down here was another?
September the 4th was the first visit down here, and October the 23rd was the second visit.
Okay, so about 4 or 5 weeks or something like that, y'all came back. Okay, in 4 or 5 weeks when they came back, this boy that had a leg broken that they wanted to do surgery on, that the doctor said that the ankle would probably never be fixed where he could never play football again for sure and probably never run and might not ever walk on it. In 4 or 5 weeks after he left here, they brought him back. He walked in that door like there was nothing wrong with him. And when I saw him, I said, "Trevor, son, how are you doing?" He said, "I got to give my testimony today." I said, "Come on up here." He came up here and he stood right here and told the people that was here at that school. He said, they just took me back to the doctor Friday. Now, I guess this was on Saturday or Sunday or whatever it was. I don't remember which day of the week y'all were here for the healing school or whether it was the 23rd, whatever that was, of October. He said, they just took me to the doctor Friday to check my leg. And he said, the doctors couldn't believe it. They x-rayed my leg. And now he hadn't had no surgery, no nothing. Just Jesus on a broken leg that the doctor said he may never even walk again. Certainly won't go and play football on. The ankle was completely healed. Not anything wrong with it. The leg was healed. And that boy has now been given a football scholarship to play football in college. Yes. If he wants it. Now then, and he's the fastest runner on the team. Now, just like I just told his mom and dad here, does our Jesus do good work?
Yes.
I mean, he is an awesome God. See, when you really, really come to identify yourself with Christ, and that's what Trevor, at 18 years old, that's something.
He was 17 and turned 18 during the process.
Okay, so. But it's 17 or 18, and now he's 19. He's fixing to get married, I understand. Now he's met some sweet little thing, you know. That happens to most young boys. They meet some sweet little thing they can't live without, you know, and they get married. And of course, that's the right way to do it, you know, because God made a man, and then he made a woman for a man, and every man is supposed to have a woman. And God made you girls for the guys. That's what he made you for, to take care of your husband. And the women that learn that secret, they're blessed because they're doing what God's made them to do. They're to take care of their husband and the family, and the husband's to provide for the family. So I think about little Trevor. I don't see little Trevor, he's big as I am, you know, but I look at him since he's only 19 years old as a little boy, you know, but he's a grown man, let me tell you for sure. But I think about the faith that young man demonstrated. Now, what kind of faith would it take, Mark, for a, you understand the physical body, don't you? Yeah. But so what kind of faith would it take for a young man that had both bones broken in there and ankle tore all to pieces, and within just a matter of 5 or 6 weeks with nothing, to be running and playing like nothing ever happened?
Jesus.
He met a good doctor, didn't he?
Yes.
We all need to know that doctor, don't we? We need to know that doctor because that doctor is an awesome doctor. I mean, of course, his dad here, he was healed from a stroke, same way, you know, almost that quick. I guess it was that quicker. Yeah, it was less than a month. I mean, his dad, they came down here and he'd had a stroke and he could hardly walk. And we found out that what the sin was, and he repented of the sin. We prayed for him, and my goodness, in days, he was back at work.
Which was not putting God first.
Now, isn't that a shame? So you're going to take part of that responsibility too, are you, girl?
I was working right beside him.
Who would ever believe that God would strike a man for not putting God first? But what was the first commandment? Yeah, love God and put him first, right?
Yep.
I mean, just think, if God says the number one thing you're to do to me, you are to love me, you're to put nothing before me, I am to be your God. Is that what he said, Mark? That's the number one, isn't it? So when we as men break that commandment, we as men stand the brunt of that far quicker than the ladies do, because God made us responsible to him as the spiritual heads of our house. We are to be the living example in our homes of Jesus Christ to our wife and our children. And most of us don't do a very good job of that. But it's our failure to identify with who we are as Christians as to why we don't do this. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you, and we're going to talk about some scripture today. And I want you to see this wonderful thing that Paul talks about. I hope we can get through both chapters of Colossians 1 and 2. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 1, King James Bible. We're going to read the King James Bible. And I want you to see as we go down through here what Paul has to say about us and our identity with Christ and what Christ has done for us, because we just don't realize what he's done for us. I mean, we really don't. I mean, first of all, yesterday I just talked in great detail yesterday in the Healing School about this one word up here called sozo. Did I talk about that word yesterday in detail? Well, let me ask you one more time, since it's an open book test, and the answers to the questions are all on the board, what does the word sozo mean?
Saved.
Saved, okay. Now, most of us in this room found that one, didn't we?
Yep.
We realize it means we're saved, but it doesn't just mean saved, does it? What else does it mean?
Healed.
Now, most of us never figure that one out. I mean, we in our lack of identification as to who we are as Christians, we never realize that Jesus not only paid the price for our salvation on the cross 2,000 years ago, but 2,000 years ago He also bore our sickness and removed our disease, so we don't have to be sick. And so we never claim that by faith. And what else did He say up there?
Made whole.
Made whole? Almost nobody gets a hold of that. Lord, You said in Your word, I'm made whole. So, Lord, I'm whole. And when you do that in faith, if you really do that in faith, then He will make you whole. But He's a faith God. And if you never learned this, He sent His word. He sent His word to save you. He sent His word to heal you. He sent His word to deliver you. Everything. All these. And what was the other one now?
Delivered.
What?
Delivered.
Delivered? You mean I've been given power over the devil?
Yes.
I have already been delivered. I just don't know it. I am claiming my deliverance. And you know, I get tickled at people that come here and thinking about, wow, I've done some of those things. Or they hear something on a tape we talk about and how somebody else had demons and they think, I've done that. And I need to be delivered. When I get there, I'm going to have Thurman deliver me. But I'm so afraid that those demons are going to manifest in me like they did with that other person. And oh, what? And then when you cast them out and they say, well, I didn't feel nothing. I said, you don't have to feel anything. This is not a kingdom of feeling, is it? See, when I speak to the evil spirits, they have to go away because I know who I am in Christ. And when I speak, when I lay hands on people and pray for them, I believe with all my heart they're going to get well. Because Jesus told me that. And Trevor believed that. And you believe that. And as people believe what God says, it happens. Isn't that something? I just stand in awe to think about that young man, just how short a time ago it was when he come in here with crutches and told me, Thurman, I broke my leg in a football accident. It was no accident. He had the door open because of sin. I mean, we all do that. I mean, do we all sin? Oh, far too much. But he had the door open because of his unforgiveness. And it caused his right leg, which is the male side of his body, to be damaged. Isn't that amazing? It always happens like that. But then because of his great faith, even though he still had the sin, he still walked off on a broken leg, you know, but it hurt. I can only imagine how that must have hurt. But by Wednesday, he couldn't handle it. It was too much. And that's when Cheryl told him, "You, something's wrong, Trevor. You got unforgiveness towards somebody or something." Well, he did. And whenever he repented of that sin and promised that he would write his biological dad a letter and tell him he loved him and he forgave him. Wow, in about 4 weeks, the boy is completely, totally healed, running and playing with no surgeries or no nothing. Only Jesus. Is that almost awesome? Now, who can do that, Mama? Who can do those kind of things? Only the Lord Jesus, right? There ain't no doctor in the world could do that. You're a doctor. You're a veterinarian. There ain't no doctor in the world heal a crushed leg like that in a month, is there?
Miraculous healer.
It always helps when I got a professional here to back me up. You know, in other words, as a veterinarian, if somebody brings a cow in that got a broken leg, it ain't going to heal that quick, is it?
Nope.
I mean, you ain't going to put it back together and put splints under it or whatever you do, and they ain't going to run out there and play on it again in 3 or 4 weeks like Trevor did. And especially when the doctor said the ankle was tore up so bad in the x-rays that he would probably might not even walk again, but maybe he would be able to walk, but he would never be able to run again, and he would sure never play football again. And you hear what Mama just said? He's the fastest boy on the team. Isn't that something? I mean, when God does things, He don't just do it halfway. He's perfect. He's awesome. But Trevor is beginning to identify with Christ, who he is. He's learning. That's what's. And did we have another one up there? What is the last one, Kim?
Preserved?
I am preserved? What does that mean to you, to be preserved? It means what, Joseph?
He was being
Oh, my goodness gracious alive. I would say that Joseph has got a hold of this pretty good. He is pretty well preserved. Wouldn't y'all say that? I mean, you look at him and you look what he can do and the things he does. I mean, I think of men that half his age that's already gone. It's already gone. And this guy can do anything. You know, I mean, he's older, but the Lord has preserved him and kept him healthy, and he goes and does things for the kingdom of God all the time. Now, I don't think that we as Christians should look at life like, oh my goodness, I'm 65 and I don't think I'm going to be able to make it till I'm 66. I hear people talk like that. You know that? They ain't going to make it. They have no idea. And the thing about it is, some of these people are Christians, but they have no real idea of what belongs to them. The revelation from the word sozo, it'll be just like me. I mean, as I told them yesterday, the ones that were here at the healing school, I mean, 30 years ago, 30 plus years ago, the day I learned that word sozo, I literally knelt in front of my computer. I held up my hands and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I see it. You are a faith God. And I have been sick so many times because I accepted you as my Savior at 11. And that's been years ago. But I've been sick many times. And I've never declared you as my personal healer by faith in your word. So tonight I am receiving you as my personal healer. And I will go. And just like I did when I got saved, I didn't see any lights or feel anything. But I knew that the night that I got born again, I told people, I am saved. And I've been telling people ever since then, I am saved. And, well, are you sure? Absolutely. Why do you know? Well, it's written in the book. You mean to tell me you're going to trust your soul to an old book? That's right, Lou, right? I'm going to trust my soul to that book. If it's written in that book, I guarantee I'm trusting my soul to that book. Because it's written in that book, and that book I know happens to be the Word of God. So in my identification with who I am in Him, I know that He's in me and I'm in Him, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There's no limitations. The only limitations I have on this earth is what I'm willing to confess, because He's already paid the total price and done it all in the one word, sozo. It's mine. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm made whole, I'm delivered, and I'm preserved. That happened 2,000 years ago. It's not going to happen in the future, Debbie. It's already done, girl. It happened 2,000 years ago. Is that right? Yeah, it's already done. But I have to learn that, and I have to identify with that. And Colossians tells us a lot about this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now see, now there's something right there. How often do you pray? Paul said, we pray always for you. You know, when people come in and their family's all tore up and the kids are sick and everything else, what can we do? I said, have you prayed about it? No. I think, well, what's wrong with you? Do you not know that before you pray, you can do nothing? And after you pray, there's nothing impossible? Is that true? So why do we get beat up on? Why do we allow the enemy to come in and mess with us? Because little Trevor, he said, Dad, will you take me down to Thurman's church? I want him to pray for me. I got a broke leg. I ain't never going to walk again according to the doctors. So Dad says, sure, no problem. Get in the car. We'll go. And they came down here. And we prayed for that young boy. And boy, what a praise report, huh? Wow, the boy is fastest on the team. I love that, Mama. I love fast. He's not just one of the boys. He's the fastest one on the team. And a hurdler and everything. Wow. And to think that a few months ago he had a broke ankle, and some of the finest doctors up there in Oklahoma said, you may never even walk again, but you sure ain't going to run, and you sure ain't going to play football. Them boys don't know our Jesus, do they, Lou? They don't know our Jesus. See, but Trevor knows Jesus, and that's what makes the difference. And the boy stands on the Word of God. He said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Now, see, there's a message right there in that. You and me are supposed to have love for how many of the saints?
All.
How many?
All
of them. How about those that are unlovable? All of them, huh? We're supposed to love everybody. Is that right? Is that a command from God for us to love our neighbor as ourselves? Yeah. See, the first commandment was to love him. And the second one was to love our neighbor as ourself. There's lots of Christians I know break those commandments. You know that? Mm-hmm. Lots of them. Wow. Okay, verse 5 and 6. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You know, I run into lots of people that don't have a clue what's laid up for them in heaven. And I ask them, are you going to heaven when you die? Well, I'm not sure, but I hope so. No, you don't never want to answer that question like that. You want to say, yes, I'm going to heaven because I've trusted in Jesus. He's the only way. Oh, but you know, that couldn't be true because, you know, God would never require only one way to heaven. But will he? He did, didn't he? He himself said, I am the truth, I am the life, and I am the way. And nobody shall enter the kingdom of heaven except they come through me. So there ain't no other way. That's just like healing. There's no other way except in the name of Jesus for people to get healed. It's amazing. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you since the day you heard of it and you knew the grace of God in truth. Now then, when you learn the truth of the grace of God and the Word of God, will it bring forth fruit and power in your life? Boy, it did in mine. I mean, when I began to learn the truth, of course, I didn't know the truth for a long time. I mean, I was in a Baptist church. You know, I mean, I don't know about you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you were in some kind of a church like I was for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and never seen a miracle, never seen one, not one? Wow. That's almost all of us. So what's wrong with us? We're kind of dense, aren't we? Do you know that this little miracle, here's two miracles right here, the dad and the son, right here today. Two miracles, awesome. And
she had a miracle too.
Oh, she had a miracle too?
Tons of miracles.
Oh, my goodness.
But
I mean,
those are just the ones that we've shared.
Oh.
We've shared.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, Gerald, you're crazy. God don't do miracles no more. Yeah. Got to you too late, huh, girl? Isn't that wonderful?
We haven't even had a Tylenol in our house. We had to clean out the medicine cabinet Praise 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. That's your kind of woman right there, right, Rosemary? Praise the Lord. In other words, anytime anything goes on in this home, what do y'all do? Hey, my goodness gracious alive. The scripture told us that. Repent and pray. You've learned well. Yeah. Repent and pray. I mean, Cheryl and I've learned that well too. We got a lot of people in this church have learned that well. And they don't walk in sickness and disease when they learn that. You know, but the Lord just tells us there, wow, it bringeth forth fruit. As it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and you knew the grace of God in truth. Well, I didn't hear about it for a long time. It took me a long time to hear about this truth. And when I finally heard it, it starts bringing forth great results. Wow. Great results. Wow, verse 7 and 8. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, if there's anything all of us should have, it's that love one for another. If you really want to see the power of God work in your life, you have to walk in that love. I mean, the more love you walk in, the greater will be the power God will reveal to you, because your faith worketh by love. And if you don't love, then it won't work. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit, verse 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is a very good prayer to pray for anybody, that you will pray for them, that they'll have that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the Word of God. I have people all the time that come to me and say, Pastor, after we've come here and we've got healed, or our children got healed or whatever, we pray for you and your ministry every day. I think, man, there's not anything you can do better for me than that.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, if you pray for me and this ministry and the people of this ministry, there's not anything better than praying, because before you pray, you can do nothing. But after you pray, nothing is impossible. That's a beautiful part about God. He's a faith God. And I remember that way I learned that lesson was years ago when I was going to a home with my wife and children. They were little, and my fuel pump broke on my little Toyota, you know, and I got out and took the air cleaner off. The car died there in Granbury, Texas. And I took the gas line off and asked my wife to turn the starter over, and she did, and nothing came out. And I said, oh, shucks. I said, here I am, Granbury, Texas, Friday night at 9 o'clock in a foreign car. I said, I'm dead in the water, Lord. What can I do? And just as clear as a bell, he said, son, didn't I tell you you could ask for anything in my name? And I thought for a second. I said, yes, Lord, that's what you said. He said, well, isn't that something? So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to give me enough gas for this car to run 50 miles an hour until I get my wife and my kids home. I said, tomorrow I'll put a new fuel pump. I said, thank you, Lord. I mean, I put the air cleaner back on, the gas line back in, and I went to the back, put the tools up. I got in under the wheel, and Betty said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going home. She said, I thought you said the fuel pump don't work. I said, it don't. I reached over and hit the starter, and it started. And we backed out, and we drove down the road at 35 miles an hour until I got up to where the speed limit was 55 miles an hour, and I pushed the throttle down, and we got up to 50, and we go over the top of the hill at 50. It ain't missing a lick. And we go down on the other side. I'm on the floorboard. And we get to the bottom of the hill. We're doing 50. And I said, Lord, this don't make no sense. It takes more gas to go uphill at 50 than downhill at 50. Why will it only run 50? He said, son, that's what you asked for. And that's all you get. Isn't that amazing? He is not. He taught me a lesson right there. Be specific, Joseph. Be specific. Tell me what you want. Don't think I'm a fly-by-night shotgun God. You tell me what you want exactly in faith, and I will do exactly what you ask me to do. Isn't that something? He's an awesome God. I mean, but if we don't pray, you ain't never gonna see Him do nothing. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is a very good prayer to pray for anybody. I pray that prayer for myself virtually every day. I ask Him for that wisdom and knowledge and understanding so I can do what He's called me to do. If I tried to do this on my own, you know what kind of a failure I would be? Zero. Yeah, I mean, I could never pray for a young man like that in faith if I was trying to do that on my own. I could have never prayed for none of y'all in faith if I was trying to do it on my own. But I'm realizing who's in me. It ain't me. It's Him. And so, wow. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. I mean, just think. If He's given us the gift of healing the sick, He wants us to be fruitful in that ministry. He wants us to be fruitful to heal the sick. I mean, do you think God gets glory out of a bunch of children that's sick? I don't think so. I think God gets glory out of the testimonies like little Trevor will be able to tell his people hey, let me tell you what happened to me when I was a senior in high school. I got my leg broke, and the doctor said it ain't going to never heal. But I went to church, and I let a pastor pray for me, and I stood in faith. And now let me tell you that in a matter of weeks, I was completely healed. And of course, he'll have all the stuff right there together. He'll know exactly what day he got hurt, what day he got healed, and everything. And then people will have to just look at him and say, I think you're crazy. I don't believe that. Well, it just happened to went to a doctor. He just happened to check me. We just happened to have records, just like me and Caitlin. I've had people ask me for Caitlin's records. And we got a, this is a stacked, half, three-quarter inch tall, isn't it, of the records the doctors do. And Caitlin, they all said, she's lethal. It's over. But I came in with the best doctor they ever seen. His name's Jesus. He does good work, doesn't he? Our King does good work, and he gives us that if we walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. If there's anything I want to know, I want to know Jesus and him crucified better every day. I mean, today, I want to know more about Jesus today, this afternoon, than I knew this morning when I started studying. I've already spent 4 hours in the Word today. I mean, but I do that every Sunday. At least four. You know, so, you know, if you spend two or three or 4 hours every day in the Word, it's got to have an impact on you. You know, it's got to have an impact. So, I want to know more. I want to increase my knowledge of God. Verse 11 and 12. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. What are we strengthened by? His glorious power. How much power does he have? He's unlimited. There's no limits to the power of God. I mean, Lou, me and you've done a little building in our lives, haven't we? And we might be able to build a little building or something. I've never built a 100-story high-rise or nothing like that. I've built a few one or two stories or maybe three, but I can't even imagine the King of the universe that spoke in this world came into existence. Can you? No, I can't even grasp that. I mean, I can say that, but I can't comprehend that. Let there be light. And there was no light, and there was light. I can't even fathom that. That power is beyond my ability to comprehend. You can't grasp it either. You can't wrap your peanut mind around that. You know, there's no human being on this earth can do that. You know, I mean, God, his awesome, glorious power is beyond anything we can even imagine. And he's giving that to us. We're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. That he's the one strengthening us. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Next time you think you're run out of patience, remember what God said right there in Colossians. You're not ever going to run out again, are you, girl? No, you're not. You're a daughter of the King. He's empowered you to not run out of patience. Isn't that something? That's why we have to stay in the Word. We forget who we are. I'll tell you what happens to lots of us. We sit here and read this, and we turn like this, and look this way, and we just wiped away. We forgot everything we saw. Now, none of y'all have done that but me, but I've done that too many times in my life. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. When you begin to identify with Christ, you'll realize that you are worthy now to sit with him. Not because of nothing you did, but because of what Jesus did. But I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's like in the Corinthians where he told us, that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And then I asked men, when we go to pray for somebody, I said, I want some righteous men to come up here and pray for this man. If you know you're righteous, I don't want those unrighteous men. They immediately see themselves. What gets me, you're in a church with 100 people, maybe 60 or 50 or 60 men, and out of 50 men, you may get one or two that will be willing to get up and say, I'm righteous. People say, look at him. No, that guy has identified with Christ. He knows who he is. He's not saying, I'm righteous because I have done it. He's saying, I'm righteous because Jesus did it for me. And you know how many of those men should get up and come up there to pray? Every one of them. If they're saved, if they're born again, they should have no problem saying, I can pray the prayer of faith for that boy. Bring him in here. I'm a righteous man because Jesus made me righteous. Is that right? If we don't see ourselves as the righteousness of God in Christ, you're calling Jesus a liar. I don't think he likes that. I'm not righteous, Lord. I can't pray that prayer. He said, who do you think you are? How dare you make a statement like that? After I died on the cross for you, I took your beating, and I made you the righteousness of God in Christ. When I did that for you, how dare you tell me you're not righteous? Is that right? Any man, when you see yourself like that, you will walk holy before him to act like that righteous man. You won't never be out there telling dirty jokes with the guys. When they start telling dirty jokes, you'll say, hey, I don't listen to those kind of jokes. I don't talk about that. That's not me. I'm a Christian. Some people say, well, I'd be afraid to talk with them like that. Well, when you get to where you know who you are in Christ, you won't be afraid to talk to nobody about anything. Even if they threaten to kill you, no problem. You're just not afraid of people when you know who you are in Christ. You're not afraid of nothing. I think about the little boy. Daddy gave him $1 every morning for his lunch at school. He's walking to school, and he's probably 10, 11 years old, and a couple of 12 and 13-year-old boys found out he had that dollar, so they captured him every morning and beat him up a little bit and stole his dollar from him. He said, you guys won't be able to get my dollar tomorrow. I said, oh, yeah, you come to school, bring that dollar, we're going to get it, guarantee it. So the next day, he said, Dad, would you walk me to school this morning? Dad said, well, son, why? He said, I just want you to walk me to school. He said, okay, son, I'll walk with you. It's only a couple blocks down the street where they live. So Dad's walking along holding his hand, you know. He's waving his dollar. Boys, I got my dollar. And the boys stood right over and watched him go by. He said, I told you, boys, you wouldn't get my dollar today. Now, how did he see himself today? Dad's right beside him. His identity is in his father. And he knows his dad's 6'2", weighs 180 pounds. And he knows Dad ain't afraid of nobody. So them two boys, he just waved, just come on, boys, here's my dollar. You want my dollar? Come get it. That's exactly the way we should be in Christ. We should not be afraid of nothing. Amen. When you realize your big brother Jesus is right there, I've told this story several times. I love it because it was in the Dallas paper years ago. This girl was going to go home that night, and she got down to an alley. She thought, if I go through that alley, it's going to cut off a lot of distance to get to the house, but it's almost getting dark. But she said, Lord, protect me as I go through here. And so she heads off through there. Well, the next morning in the newspaper, there was a young lady. She says she's going through there. She sees by some trash cans a man standing there beside the trash can. He's just standing there. He don't do a thing. He's just standing there. She kind of watches him, and she goes right on by and don't even speak or nothing. She just watches him. He don't move. But the next day, she found in the newspaper that there had been a young lady being raped and killed right there where she had been that night. And so the plea was, if you've seen anybody in this neighborhood last night, would you come and tell us what they look like, so forth. Well, she went down to the police station. They'd already picked up five or six guys that was around that area. And when they put them out there, she said, that man right there, that one, he's the one I saw right there last night at just about 9 o'clock when I went through there. And then he just fell apart and said, okay, I did it. And she said, why didn't you hurt me when I walked through there? Because that I walked through, I saw you. He said, woman, are you crazy? She said, what do you mean? He said, there was 2 6-foot men walking right behind you. Now, what had she asked for? She had asked the Lord to protect her. Did he send a couple of angels?
Yes, he did.
Now, see, if she hadn't asked, he might not have sent them. But she asked, and our God, like I say, you pray, after you pray, there ain't nothing impossible. Nothing. But there's been so many of those kind of things happen. It's just awesome. Yeah. But praise the Lord. I'm recording this, Joseph. I can't take the... Anyway, we're doing these for TV. Now, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13 and 14. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, wait a minute. What did that just say? What? Just look at that a second. When you accept Jesus Christ, He delivers us. Does that fit right in with the word sozo? He delivered us from who? The power of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we're not in the kingdom of darkness no more. We don't belong to the devil no more. He delivered us. Now then, the thing about it is, if you can walk holy and pure and clean before God, you won't ever have to worry about another devil coming in your life. When I speak to a devil, he goes away. I mean, after we saw the deal in Silver City, New Mexico, when God told me there, son, I'm a faith God, and when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. I got a revelation there that's locked with me forever. And with just a little while after that, we were in Norway. Oh, and by the way, we've been invited by the TV owner to come back to Norway. So we're going to go back, I guess, in September, October, whatever. I don't know, August or July or whatever. But anyway, we got an email from the owner of the TV station last night. He said lots of people are asking for us to come back to Norway. So I guess we'll go back to Norway one more time, at least one more. But anyway, I think about, you know, I lost my complete train of thought when I said that. I shouldn't have done that. But any... Yeah, delivered from the power of darkness. I know that's what I was talking about, but I was fixing to tell something. Oh, yeah, I know what I was fixing to say, yeah. About when we were in Silver City, New Mexico, how when God gave me that revelation, then we went to Norway. And when we got there, there was a man called us and said, my wife has a problem, and I want to drive, I want to make sure you're going to be there, and I want you to deliver her from the problem she's got. She's got these problems in her stomach and all kinds of things. I said, it's just a demon. Bring her on. I said, no problem. We'll get her delivered. So anyway, when they brought her down there, there was another woman too, an older woman, which had not walked in like 4 years or whatever, and she was in a wheelchair, and they'd take her out of the wheelchair and put her in a chair right there. She's sitting right there. After the class was over, I went over and asked what was going on, and they told me. I said, well, it's just a demon. I said, so I'm going to command it to leave. And I said, it's going to leave. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that devil to come out of you in Jesus' name. That woman went to screaming and fell on the floor. She did manifest. And the very minute she fell on the floor, I told Cheryl, I said, honey, this is going to be fun. Come down here with me. Man, we just jumped down on top of this woman. And Cheryl's holding her feet down, and I'm screaming, now come out of her in the name of Jesus. It's done. I jumped up and said, woman, you're delivered. Get up. She opened her eyes. She looked up. I reached in, took her hand. She got up. Wow. She said, my pain's completely gone. I said, what? Praise God. That's exactly what I expected. So that night, I asked her if she'd give her a testimony on TV. And she said, oh, no, I couldn't get it. They tell me there's 150,000 people watching this. She said, there ain't no way I can get up there before 150,000 people and tell them. I said, okay, no problem. It's not right. So I said, no problem. But Jan, the owner, he said, oh, please. She said, no, I just can't do it. So I said, Ron, don't push her. I said, God's doing something here. I don't know what, but He's doing something. I said, just be patient with it. Well, after we kicked that devil out of her, that old woman, I turned to her. I looked up at her, and she was sitting there, and her eyes were big as saucers. You know, I had never seen nothing like this. I just reached up and grabbed her and shook her. I said, well, you come out of her, too, in the name of Jesus. And, man, she screamed one time and jumped out of that chair and just went running all over the house. Wow. So I just stand in awe of what can be done when you command a demon to come out. But the next day, when this couple came back to the TV station, her husband told me, said, we've had a side effect of the deliverance. I said, a side effect? What do you mean by a side effect? He said, my wife wore two hearing aids, one in each ear. She could hardly hear. And this morning when she woke up, when I said something to her, she said, honey, I can hear you perfect. I must have went to bed my hearing aids in. He said, I looked and they're laying on the table. I said, no, they're over there. She said, I can hear you perfect. He said, she can hear perfect in both ears. We've had a side effect. Do you like those kind of side effects? But see, when you identify with Christ, He'll use you mightily to do things for His kingdom. You got to know who you are. You got to know that you have no part in the kingdom of darkness. He says right there, He has delivered you and me from the kingdom of darkness. Did He not?
Amen.
Did He say that?
Yes.
So if God said it, are you in the kingdom of darkness?
No.
You shouldn't be. The only way you can get back in the kingdom of darkness is if you sin. Is that right, girl?
Yes, sir.
You sin, you can step back over there in that darkness, can't you?
Yes.
And you don't like it over there, do you? Because He come to steal, kill, and destroy over there, didn't He? But over here on this side, He come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And we love that, don't we?
Yes.
Yes, we do. I do. You do. Everybody does. And He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Folks, I'm a member of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I live in the kingdom. Every day I live in the kingdom. In fact, if you haven't heard, Joseph and Lori, I think Lori basically mainly was the one listening to the Keys to the Kingdom the other day. And she said she really liked that. So when she said how much she liked it, I thought, well, I'll go listen to it too. So I got it back and I listened to it. And I listened to the first CD and I said, boy, I got to find the old boy that made this. He's really good. It had to be Jesus that done it. It wasn't me. That's all I got to say. Because I was getting blessed listening to this teaching, which had to be coming from God. Do y'all understand?
Amen.
I am not taking the credit for making that CD.
Amen.
It was God that did that. But I'm telling you, I was blessed. I listened to all three of those CDs. Or I said, wow, I needed that myself. The Keys of the Kingdom. But we have those, don't we?
Amen.
It gave the King great pleasure to give you and me the keys to the kingdom. If I got the keys to the kingdom, I'm not locked out no more. I have a key. What is the key? Name me one key.
Prayer.
What?
Prayer.
That's one key. Somebody else give me another key.
Love.
What?
Love.
Love. Okay, give me another key.
Faith.
Give me another key. Healing.
Healing.
Give me another key. Power to cast out demons. I mean, there's so many keys to the kingdom in there. Speaking to a storm and it goes away. That's a key. That's a key. I mean, just think. I think about the other day when Jack Butler came and told us. He said, Thurman, I got to tell you. He said, I was up in Joplin, Missouri cleaning up. Y'all know what happened in Joplin, Missouri, right?
Yep.
He said, we're cleaning a shopping mall up there. And he said, there's a building sitting out there on the end of the shopping mall that does not have one broken glass in it. It said the wall, the partition wall that separated it from the building next to it, everything on this side of the wall is gone. There's not one thing left standing in that entire shopping mall, nothing. But this one building on the end was standing intact, had never lost electricity or water. Everything worked. The man never had to close down, not one single day. You know who owned that building? Hobby Lobby. Mr. Hobby Lobby owns that building. And do you know that Mr. Hobby Lobby gives millions of dollars to the kingdom of God? Millions. I mean, that man is a giver. David Green is his name. He owns Hobby Lobby. And that man, he bought that big, whatever it was, 180 acres or whatever it was that Bill got for 20. It was supposed to be 23 million. It appraised for 23 million. But Hobby Lobby bought it for $9 million and gave it to Bill Gothard's Ministries. That's where we had that big, that's where I made God's Power at that seminar. With 3,000 people there that day. Mr. Green bought that, gave it to Bill Gothard. He told Bill, he said, I'm going to do something good for your ministry. So he paid $9 million for that piece of property. He said, now you told me you had $1 million to fix it up. He said, I do have. So he told Bill, you take your million, you fix it up, and then we'll settle at the end of the year. So Bill did. He took the $1 million at Mr. Green's okay, and he spent $1 million fixing up a place and everything. When he got through, it had 23 houses on it, all kinds of buildings on it, thousands of square feet of places to have meetings, all kinds of things. They have schools, everything. And at the end of the year, Mr. Green come and said, Mr. Gothard, I'm going to sell it to you now for $1. That's all I want, $1. You give me $1, and it's yours. And so Bill Gothard got that for $1. And Mr. Green bought it. And, of course, he does that for Christian people all over the country. Now then, by doing that, do you think God knows what Mr. Green's doing? Why do you think his building was the only building in that shopping mall that was not damaged? I mean, all the rest of them was totally destroyed. You know how many churches in that town was totally destroyed? 35 churches in Joplin, Missouri. But yet Hobby Lobby's store was not damaged. Now, what do you think about that? You think God's word's true? It's true. You walk in obedience to my word, and I will protect you. You'll only see it with your eyes, but it will not come near you. I love that promise. You know? But God's the one promised that. But you have to identify with Him and who you are. I am not in the kingdom of darkness no more. I am in the kingdom of light. I am a son of God. Now then, when He said He delivered me out of the kingdom of darkness, I want us to stop right there in verse 13, and we'll come back at 13, 14. And I want us to go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, and I want you to see what God said in Luke 10, 19 and 20. Now look at this. It's talking about the kingdom of darkness. Behold, Jesus said, I give unto you, I like to put my name there, Thurman, Joseph. Behold, I give unto Thurman or Joseph power to tread on the serpent and his scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. When I read that, that just makes me think, wow. I mean, when I consider myself or compare myself to the devil, I know I don't have a prayer. But with my big brother walking beside me, like the little boy with the dollar. Come on, boys, just get my dollar. That's where I'm holding Daddy's hand here. He's 6 foot two, 180 pounds. You boys want my dollar? Just come get a piece of my dad. That's the way we ought to feel as children of God. As we walk along, we should realize our big brother. How far away is our big brother? Oh, my gosh. He's where, Lou? He's right inside of your heart. He ain't far away, is he? No, he's close. He's real close. And when you ask him for things in faith, he will show up. He will do things for you. He will heal your son, your husband. I mean, he's awesome. But you got to come to him in faith. I love it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that those spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. My name's written in heaven. Is yours?
Yeah.
Do you have power and authority over the devil?
Yeah.
You got all your sins confessed?
Yeah.
You're walking holy before God?
Amen.
Then you have power over the devil. Now then, you know what? This is the way the devil used to do me. I mean, just like out there in Silver City, I knew I had a lot of faith, but I got down to those last four demons, or two, whatever it was, two or four, and I could not get them out. I mean, I'm commanding. 7.5 hours later, we've been fighting this battle, and these last few will not come out. And every time when I spoke, I knew in my own heart there was a little doubt. And I'm trying to think, no, I don't have any doubt. But I did. And they knew it. They're smart. We don't have to obey you. You're not walking in total faith. We don't have to obey you. I said, but I've got all of her sins repented, remitted and everything. But we're not coming out. They denied me. And I couldn't get them out until the Lord spoke to me. When he spoke to me, he says, when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. So that's when I decided it's time to do it in bold faith. Boy, that time I did it in bold faith, and I screamed and commanded those demons to come out of that little girl and to never enter her again. And that time I jumped off the bed where she was laying and screamed at her, woman, you're delivered. Now get up. I guarantee it. And the devil said, whoa, he believes. And he had to go. And she was delivered, totally, completely delivered. That girl looked up at Cheryl and said, who are you? What am I doing here? She didn't have a clue where she was. But that scripture right there says, once you get translated into the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of heaven, how much power do you have over the devil?
Oh.
So how much does he have over you then? None. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be afraid of him, do you? No, if you ever open the door, and don't, But if you ever do open the door and one comes in, all you got to do is repent and get that great big husky-looking critter sitting beside you there to lay your hands on and say, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And he'll love it. He'll love it. Oh, me. Just like George said the other day with Becky, this is going to be fun. And it was. George learned he could pray for his wife and get her delivered. And God showed up for George. And that was awesome. That was a great testimony. I love it when you teach people the things that comes out of the book and they do it and it works. I just love it. I love to see people get blessed. Okay, let's go back to Colossians where we were there. In verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And as Dave was saying a while ago when he was on his knees there here a couple of times, when we ask the Father in Jesus' name to forgive us our sins, does he forgive us?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? I got tickled at you when I said, you know, pray. You said, but we repent first. You've learned that well, haven't you? I mean, and when you repent first, then you pray. Things happen, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. It's no problem. Praise God. Verse 15 and 16. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. How many things?
All.
I used to ask the question, where did the devil come from? That's exactly right. It took me a long time to figure this all out. You know, I read these things, but, you know, lots of people, I read books about where did the devil come from? You know, how does he operate? And I finally figured it out. It's all right here in the book. I don't have to read to somebody else's book. All I got to do is believe the book. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, that are visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So, who made the devil? Who made the angels? Who made the earth? Who made the cosmos? So, is there anything out there that he didn't make? Who made you? God did. That's exactly right. And does he ever make any junk? No, he don't ever make junk. Sometimes we think he does, but he don't ever make junk. So, you need to get over it. You know, when you look at yourself, say, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I love myself because you made me. And you commanded me to love you with all my heart, love my neighbor and myself. So, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to love everybody, including myself. And if you obey him, he'll just bless your socks off. It's just amazing what he does. Verse 17 and 18. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. There's nobody, nowhere, any more powerful than Jesus outside of God the Father. He is the creator of everything. God the Father made Jesus Christ to make everything there is. He made it all. Verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness is in him. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Verse 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In other words, when you have wicked thoughts in your mind, you are separated from God. And you can still do that today. That's why, as a Christian, he tells you to capture how many thoughts? Every one. Capture every thought and bring that thought into obedience to the commands of Christ. Now then, what if the thought comes and it says, why don't you go down to the hospital and pray for sister so-and-so? She's sick. Where do you think that thought come from? That's the Lord, isn't it? Yeah. But if the thought comes to your mind and say, why don't you just reach over and hit that guy right there? He's not very nice. Oh, you don't think that come? You got to capture that thought, don't you? You don't even want to think about that, do you? Oh, because if you do, if you even think about it, entertain it, say, yeah, he deserves it. The devil's going to say, oh, Lord, look at your little daughter there. She just sinned. She didn't capture that thought. You think he would do things like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's very good. He does not mind putting you to the test. That devil, you know, that's why you got to read the word and know what it says. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So when we got saved, that's the way he sees us. Blameless, perfect. If we could just stay that way. But praise God, we have 1 John 1:9. Just like this young lady said up here on the front row, she says, repent and then pray. And boy, that's good advice for anybody, girl. That's absolutely wonderful advice. Okay, 23 and 24. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What if you don't continue in the faith? You ever think about that? Maybe that power won't stay in you. It says you need... In other words, here's the thing I think... I don't understand Christians. I don't understand how we miss this. When you become a son of God, you're supposed to walk with God the rest of your life. You're not supposed to walk with him 5 years or 10 years and then say, well, I accepted Jesus when I was 11, and so now that I'm 17, so I want to run out and sow my wild oats. I don't want to go to church no more. Forget that nonsense. You know, I'll go do what I want to do. And you go out and start drinking and smoking and doing drugs and running around. And then you wind up like this young boy they brought to me here a while back. Wanted me to pray for him. He had been in every kind of drug. He'd done everything you could imagine, and his brain was blown away, and he was totally out of it, and he was virtually an invalid and could do nothing for himself. But yet, a couple of years ago, he was a perfect, normal 17-year-old boy. Now he's 19 years old and can't do nothing. But he called himself a Christian. Let me tell you what. You call yourself a Christian, and if you don't remain in that love of God, and you get out there in the devil's world... And the devil sees he's got legal right to you and he knows you're a child of God. What do you think he's going to do to you? He's going to slaughter you. He's going to do everything he can to kill you. And then you wind up like that boy. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what. Anybody that hears my voice on this tape or whatever, take heed. No drugs, no alcohol. No violence, no sex, no screaming, no anger, no rage, no bitter. Walk holy before God. Walk in obedience to His Word. It pays good dividends, doesn't it, Rosemary? You walk holy before God, all these promises belong to you. If you don't walk holy in obedience to His Word, when you come to Him and say, Lord, my son got his leg broke, I need to pray. God says, what did you say? I didn't hear you. You see what I mean? That ain't the way you want him to come to you, is it? No, you want him to hear your prayer and yours too. Every one of all of us want God to hear our prayer when we pray. But we got to stay in tune with God. You can't get out there in the world. And so many young people, they've been told this lie, once saved, always saved. I heard that in the Baptist church so many years. And so many young people said, well, if I'm once saved, always saved, then that means I can just go do what I want to. And when I get to be 30 or 40 years old, then I can come back. I'll be okay. No, you probably ain't never going to make it to 30 or 40. This boy only made it 2 years, and he's a vegetable. And I don't know if he's still alive or not, but last time I saw, I prayed for him, but he still was not changed. Yeah. Now, can God heal him? Oh, yeah, he can. Ain't nothing hard for God. But God knows. He knows what that boy might do if he heals him. So let me tell you, don't be one of those that gets into the stupid things of the world. Walk with God, walk holy before Him, walk in obedience to His Word, and then His promises are always yes and amen for you. You won't ever have to worry about being sick and afflicted. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled in the faith, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I mean, don't get away from it. Stay with it. Which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby I, Paul, am made a minister. What did he say the verse before that? Let's go back and read verse 22 and 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And then go back to that next, the 23. If you continue. What if you don't continue? You ain't gonna be, ain't gonna meet all that criteria. You're not gonna be clean and pure, are you, Lou? No, there ain't no way you're gonna be clean and pure. So like I'm saying, if you are a born-again Christian, make sure you continue in the faith. Don't get out of it. Because when you get out of it, you fall from grace. And you fall back under where those serpents and scorpions are. And you won't like it down there, I can tell you for sure. There was a man called me the other day and tell me about something happened in a church where he was going. And he said how they asked him, to not put any input into the church because they're Baptists, and he is a Baptist, and he's been here many a time. He's got healed here, and so he knows now a little bit about God's Word. And so when he's in this Bible study class in this town he's at, when they read a scripture, he said, but that's really not what it says. It says this. This is what it says. And after about 3 or 4 weeks in the Bible study class, they called him out of the class after class and took him down to a elder's office or deacon's office or something, whatever, and told him they appreciated him coming to Sunday school there, but from this day forth, he would not be allowed to give any of his input into the class. They didn't want it. So he called me and asked me about it, and I told him, I said, well, whatever you do, don't get into unforgiveness with these people for this. He said, don't worry. He said, after what I've learned about unforgiveness in your church, I am more afraid of unforgiveness than I am a sack full of rattlesnakes. He said, unforgiveness will take me to hell. He said, I ain't going there with them, Thurman. I guarantee I'm not. I said, okay, it's just another one of those tactics of the devil that's trying to get you into sin. So I said, don't go there. Who now rejoices in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. His body is you and me. We are the body of Christ. Do we see ourselves like that? I am. Now, when I first learned this years ago, I made this statement to somebody. They said, who do you think you are? I said, I'm Christ on this earth. They said, blasphemy. I never heard anybody that's called himself Jesus. I said, Jesus lives right here. I am Christ on this earth. You got to see yourself like that because that's who we are, right? We are Christ on the earth because he lives inside of you and me. We are his church. We are his body. So that means he's the head. We're the rest of the body. That means I'm Christ, right? Is that right? So what do you think we ought to act like?
Christ.
Ought to act like Christ, right? We shouldn't act like the devil. We shouldn't be out there lying, cheating, committing adultery, telling dirty jokes and all that stuff. We ought to be walking like children of the King. Is that right? We ought to be identifying ourselves as who we are in Christ. Then he says in verse 25 and 26, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. There's a mystery that's been hidden forever? Well, goodness gracious, let's go to the next verse and see if he tells us what it is. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So where does Christ live? Where? Really? So when I look at you, who should I see?
Jesus.
That's exactly right. When you look at a Christian, when you start to talk to your husband or your spouse, always remember, when you start to talk to that girl, you know who you're talking to? Jesus. You better treat her good, Mark. Is that true, Debbie? Christ living in us, right? I mean, just think of that. So when you talk to Jeff, you're talking to Jesus. When Jeff's talking to you, he's talking to Jesus. You know, so do you know if we really realize that? You know how many divorces there would be in a church if they ever got that real revelation? None. There would be none. You know how many knockdown dragouts we'd have? None. No, that's absolutely right. Because I'm telling you, if I were to get upset at my wife and I started to say something, and all of a sudden she's standing right there and she was transformed into the image of God, guess what I would do? Oh, Lord. You believe that? Of course. So why wouldn't I do that? Because she is Christ on the earth, right? This is the mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. That when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He now moves into us. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And all of His power is in me. So every time a man, or a woman, either one, but if a man says anything dirty or nasty to his wife, and both of them are Christians, he's completely forgot who she is and who he is. We just don't get it. But the Word declares it, doesn't it? When we identify ourselves with Jesus and that we are Him on the earth, we are the body and He's the head, I mean, it will change the way you do business. You will start praying about everything. Wow. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Warning. People don't go to church and get warned as a rule. But we should have preachers that say, I warn you, you're children of the Most High God. You need to act like children of the Most High God. Because if you do not, He may do something to you that you do not like. You know, most people don't believe that at all. But how many times have I seen people? I remember that one little girl up here in Justin. 15 years old. She moved in with a boy about 18, 19 years old. Her daddy come to me and said, Thurman, you go talk to her. She won't listen to me. I said, okay. So I went up and I said, honey, are you really a Christian? She said, yes. I said, young man, are you a Christian? He said, no, I ain't no Christian. I don't want nothing to do with it. I said, well, young lady, first of all, if you are a Christian, the Lord told you that you cannot move in with this boy because you're not married to him. I said, because another reason, he said, if you are a Christian, you're not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And he's an unbeliever. And he says, what kind of problems are we going to have with a Christian in the house and a devil in the house? And I said, you're going to have problems. And so you don't want to go there. So I said, you need to move out. No, I'm not going to do it. I said, well, let me tell you this. Let me warn you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. In fact, let's go to that. We'll come back here to verse 28 in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that? Is that what we're just talking about? Yeah. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Well, let's see what happens in the next verse, verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, this is the temple he's talking about right here. If any man, he's talking about women too, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I told her, I said, honey, if you don't move out, you're on thin ice. And I said, somewhere along the line, I don't know how much time God will give you, but if you don't straighten your act up, God will kill you. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, I don't believe that. She said, God's a God of love. Now, he is a God of love, isn't he? But did he make that statement too? You can't just read part of the Bible. You got to read all of it. So I told her, I said, honey, you got to move out. I said, he will destroy your temple. That means he'll kill you. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, I don't believe that. God would never hurt me. I said, yes, he will. He'll not only hurt you, honey, he'll kill you. Well, she wouldn't believe me, so I left. A few months later, she got pregnant, had a baby, and her daddy wanted me to go back. So in the next 5 or 6 years, I went back 3 times to this girl, tried to tell her she had to leave this boy and get right with God. And she didn't. She never would. So after the third time I went, she had the third baby, and the baby was about a month old, and her and that baby and that boy went to bed together one night, and the next morning when they woke up, the man woke up and the baby woke up, but the little girl had had a massive heart attack in the middle of the night. Stone, hard, cold, dead, laying there in the bed. 21. I told her three times, Debbie. I told her three times this God was going to kill her. She wouldn't believe me. But he did. Is that what he said, Babs? Is that what he said? I mean, most people, you don't ever hear that in church, do you? I mean, but it's in the Word, girl. Was I giving her good advice? And she wouldn't heed it. And so what happened? He killed her. Is he a respecter of persons? No. They don't care if it's man or woman, who it is. God is the one that makes the decision to do whatever. Now, somebody else might live with a boy and brought forth three or four children and live together for 10 or 15 years and nothing like this ever happened to them. But they might have not had anybody coming to tell them too. Do you know that God expects more after he's warned you? Y'all know that? You know, when your son does something, if you hadn't warned him not to do something, you're not near as hard on him as you are if you've warned him three times and then he does it anyway, right? You see what I mean, right, Mama? So see, God's Word's true, isn't it? That ought to make some of us think. That ought to make some of us say, God, I'm so grateful that you're so merciful because you could have killed me. You know, I've made that statement many times. If God wasn't merciful, this is one old boy had been killed a long time ago. But he was merciful. And I'm grateful. But when he comes and tells me something, and I see the penalty could be death, let me tell you, I don't turn my back on him. Ooh, that's scary. I didn't know that, Lord. Well, you better be afraid. Lord, I repent. He said, that's what I wanted you to do. If that second time, or even that third time when I went, if she'd have said, okay, Lord, I repent. I'll take my babies and go home. Would he have killed her? No, she'd be alive today. That girl would be alive. Does God forgive us? Yeah, but she never asked for forgiveness. Three times in 5 years, I told that girl she had to move out or that verse was going to become a reality in her life. That God was going to kill her. Because the way I look at that, if any man, he's talking about both male and female right there. If any man defile the temple of God, him or her shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So, as we identify with Christ, we're his temple. Do you think he likes cancer cells in his body? I don't think so. He knows how to kill them too, doesn't he? He knows how to take them out. Now, I don't want to be one of those cancer cells that gets taken out. Do you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we see these kind of things happen all the time. You know, I've warned people here because I don't want people to die prematurely. I want you to enjoy the abundant life. And I'll tell you what, when we identify with Christ and we learn these things, you have no idea how it blesses me. I mean, when, I can't even remember your name, sir. Joe. When Joe came back, I guess it had been 2 or 3 years ago, hadn't it?
2008. Yeah.
2008. When Joe came in here and I prayed for him, he couldn't even walk. And we got the sin taken care of and I prayed for him. And within just a week or two, he was back almost to work. And only a month or two or three later, whatever, he come back in here walking by himself, just perfect. I thought, what a blessing. Well, he said, man, what a blessing for me too. Because he didn't like being sick. And then I had no idea that this last year that they were going to bring their son and he was going to have the broken leg. But to pray for that boy and to see that boy get so well and be the fastest boy on the team. I love that, don't you, Mama? I love it. But just think. God wants every one of us to be able to pray those kind of faith for people, doesn't he, Lou? He wants every one of us because he's in every one of us. We are his temple. He wants us to walk holy and obedient to his word and then do something for his glory. And when you do, when you have that identification with Christ, man, you're not afraid of nobody or nothing. You know what you can do because you know the power that's in you is nothing greater than the power of God. And to think that power lives in here. Okay, let's go back where we was in. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I was teaching how to be perfect in Christ Jesus over in Dallas here a while back. And there was a young man coming. He says, he listened to me a little while. And he said, now, wait a minute. He said, if I understand you right, you're saying it is possible for us to not sin? To be perfect? No, he said, I understand that you're trying to tell me it's possible that I don't have to sin. So he said, the next thing I guess you're going to say is I'm supposed to be perfect. I said, son, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I'll let the word speak for itself. I said, let me take you to Matthew 5:48. I want you to see what God the Father requires of you in Matthew 5:48. Look and see what, be ye therefore... Oh, my lands, Rosemary. Perfect? Be ye therefore perfect. I mean, if you're perfect, what's left out? Ooh. I mean, there ain't no sin in your life. You're doing everything God says. And he's if you are walking in that perfection with Christ, you think he's happy with you? Ooh, my goodness gracious. That's what he says. My dear, come to me and ask me for anything, and it's yours. And I can't think of a better way to be. Can you, Ro? I mean, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So what's our goal? Be like Jesus. That's exactly right. And if you want your prayers answered, that's where you got to walk. And when you do, then you get your prayers answered, don't you? Woo! Praise the Lord. I love it. Okay, let's go back to Colossians. Verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Don't you like that?
Amen.
That power is working in you mightily. How many of us is that power supposed to work mightily in?
All of us.
That's right. I mean, it's not something that one of us is supposed to get. We're all supposed to have this, aren't we? I mean, is it in the Word, Mark?
Yes, it is.
If it's in the Word, then that's what we ought to be. We ought to be diligently seeking, reading that book, realizing who we are and our identity in Christ so we can pray for those that are lost and see them get saved. Amen. Pray for those that are sick and see them get healed, right?
All power. Yeah.
And for those that got demons, we just kick them out in the name of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? It makes life fun. You know, I think about this woman, just about your size and everything, babe. She was over there. I was at a meeting over in Fort Worth, and I happened to be going up to the front to pray for people because the pastor said, if we have any pastors here, would you come pray with us? And so I started up there, and I met a woman that I knew that had been to some of my healing schools. She said, Thurman Scrivener, see, do you still believe everything's a demon? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, I thought so. She said, I have a bone spur in my heel, and I'm having trouble walking. I guess you're going to tell me that's a demon. I said, ma'am, that's a demon. She said, it's not a demon. I guarantee it's not a demon. She's jumping, screaming. See there, he's crazy. And I just reached up and grabbed her by the shoulder and shook her. I said, come out of her, you devil of hell. I said, now stomp your foot. And so she did. And she said, oh my gosh, it don't hurt. I love it every time God does something like that for me. Step out and make a complete idiot out of yourself right in the middle of the church. And it wasn't even my church. And this girl got healed. She started stomping her foot. She took her foot off, took her shoe off in her foot, started stomping. She said, there's not anything in there. It don't hurt at all. I said, now, did I pray for you for healing? She said, no. I said, what did I do to you? She said, I'll never say it. I said, I cast a demon out of you, woman. And that's what happened. And she said, well, it sure does feel better. You know, serving Jesus is so much fun. You know that? I love it. And he come to give us life and give it to us
abundantly.
You've learned that, haven't you, girl? Father, I praise you and thank you for the beautiful day. I thank you for the beautiful trip to Odessa tomorrow, where we can be on television tomorrow night and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. I thank you for Friday for a beautiful trip back. I ask you to give every man and woman that's going to be on the set in those 4 hours, we're going to be on 6 to 10, 4 nights in a row with several other people. And Lord, I ask you to give every man and woman that's going to be on that set the knowledge, the wisdom, and the revelation we need to meet the needs of the people that'll be watching. I ask you to bless everybody that watches GLC next week in a special way. Lord, because we know we dedicate ourselves to you, our lives to you, and we ask you to speak through us and to the people, your people. And Lord, we give you all the glory and praise, and may every need be met. Now, Lord, as we go home today, as the people go home today, may you bless them. May you meet every need they have. And the people that have traveled to come to the healing school, may you give them a blessed trip home. And may they never be the same, because your word will never go away in their hearts. May they be a stronger Christian every day as they walk closer with you, Father. And I praise you for this wonderful book, the Word of God. Help us to understand it. Give us the revelation, the wisdom, the knowledge, the spiritual understanding that we need so we can understand the book just like you wrote it, so we can be the children that you want us to be, perfect, lacking nothing. Thank you, Father, for blessing us this weekend. Thank you for the people that got healed at the healing school. Thank you for those that came today and what you'll do through each one of these. We praise you and thank you, Father. We're so grateful that you are our Lord and our God. And we give you all the praise and glory. And thank you for using us mightily, just like you did Paul. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.